It's time to get our service started this morning. Good to be back in the house of the Lord today. Thankful that you're with us on this Sunday morning. Had a good Sunday school hour. We enjoyed that. We're looking forward to the morning service now. I'll make just a few announcements, mention just a few things, and then we'll have prayer, and Brother Brad will come, and we'll have some congregational singing, and Miss Tammy is going to sing for us today as well. And so we're thankful to be in the house of the Lord today, and glad to have you with us as well. We have several families on vacation. We have some families who have returned from vacation, some families who are going on vacation. It's that time of year, amen. And so I hope you have a blessed vacation when you go, and if those that are going, if they're watching, I hope they'll make it back home safely. Today's JD's birthday. In case y'all get a chance to aggravate him after a while, that'll be a blessing. JD, somebody asked him this morning how old he was, and he said 17, but he failed to tell him that he is also dyslexic, and so you can figure that out for yourself, but sure to appreciate Brother JD. Be sure to give him a hard time if you get a chance. Had a good time at Street Ministry this week on Thursday, which is usually a very slow day. We had some good conversations on Thursday. We actually had some folks to approach us for the reason to just talk with us. Had seen us there before and talked to a young man from Somalia for a long time. He was a Muslim. Had a really good conversation with him. When he left, he said, "You've given me a lot to think about." And so just pray for that gentleman, if you will. The Lord would help him. Also received a message on the Bear Trail website last night from some folks who came through town yesterday from Woodlawn, Virginia, and some young men that were there doing street ministry on the corner was a witness to them, and so they were very appreciative of that, and that's a blessing. So I appreciate you folks standing up for Jesus, and that's always a great blessing to have that be the case. Also would like to take just a moment to commend the ladies of our church for dressing modestly. You say, why would you do that? Well, I've been commended for that a couple of times recently by different people, and I take that for granted, I guess, but I thank you so much for that. That's a blessing. I've heard, you know, horror stories from other places, and I'm not belittling or criticizing any other ministry or church or whatever. I just want to thank you for dressing modestly. It's important, amen. And it edifies the Lord. It is pleasing to the Lord. And it's noticeable by others who visit our church or who attend our church. And some even for that very reason they're attending. So what a blessing. Thank you for that. And I hope you will continue that. It's not just the church services. It's Vacation Bible School. It's Youth Rally, Street Ministry. All those things are important. And I praise the Lord for your faithfulness to the Lord and faithfulness to dress in that fashion. You say, preacher, why would you do that? Because I don't want you to grow lax in it and think it doesn't matter. Because it does matter. And I'm grateful for it. It's a blessing. This afternoon, after the evening service, we will have youth choir practice. We have been so busy for the last little while. We have not been able to have any kind of choir practices. But Brother Brad said we would have youth choir practice this afternoon. So keep that in mind, if you will. Also, pray for Brother TJ. He's preaching this morning at the Willis Gap Baptist Church. Remember him in prayer, if you will. And Brother Gary wanted us to remember the Barrier family. Charles Barry has passed away. Pray for his family, if you will, that the Lord would help them and comfort them during this time. I know the Lord is able to do that. Well, there is a large number of things that we could mention as far as prayer requests this morning, but we're going to pray together and ask the Lord to meet with us and help us, and then Brother Brad will come. We'll sing together. Good to have Brother Brad and Miss Annie back. They've been on vacation as well, and we certainly are glad to have them back this morning. They're a great blessing to our church family. Father, thank you for the opportunity to pray today. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for folks who've made it out this way to be with us in the service this morning. I pray you would bless the singing. I pray you would bless the fellowship and our time together. Pray you'd help us, Lord, as we preach here in just a little while. I thank you, Lord, for those who make up our church, people who have come and attend. I pray that you would continue to bless them and encourage them. I pray for those who are traveling and on vacation, Lord, as you keep them safe as they travel. Help them to get back safely. Several are traveling today that I know about. Pray you keep them safe as well. And we'll sure thank you for that. Please help Miss Tammy as she sings for us this morning. May our hearts be encouraged by the congregational singing. Lord, we just desire your presence to be with us in the service, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Brad is coming this morning. We're going to sing together. You got both books, brother? He's got pulling a double hitter on us this morning. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Let's stand together. We'll start in the big fat hymn book. Have you turned to hymn number 393? I was reading these lyrics again yesterday of this hymn, and it struck me, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people say something about how their faith has sustained them, or their trust in faith, or whatever. And I thought, you know, if we have faith generally, it doesn't do us a bit of good. Our faith has to find a resting place, and that resting place is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in a device, not in a creed, not anything else. Our faith has to fall and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that's the place we want to stand today. So let's read and sing hymn 393, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saved. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. Amen. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
And it is indeed. And because of that, we can take that red hymn book and we can turn to 348 and declare if we are born again, if we've been saved by the blood of Jesus, we're a child of the King. Amen? 348.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of men, but now he is leading our hearted on high, that we may be his when he comes by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. A tent or a hut, oh, why should I care? There be a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, oh, glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
What a blessing, what a miracle, amen.
Amen, praise the Lord for the miracle of the new birth. I've been born again. Satan is no longer my father. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a blessing to be born again, have Jesus Christ as our Father. All right, Miss Tammy's coming this morning to sing for us. You pray for her as she comes to sing for us this morning. The Lord would use her to be a help and a blessing to us.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way, he makes a way? Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's love? are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him, how I worship and adore Him, when I can see no way, He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him, that's all I want to say. I wasn't there by the shore of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saved me. For I know what Jesus did for me. I have seen the lowest sin sick soul have life anew and then made pure, pure and whole. And I have seen Him loose the chains of sin and set the captive free. For I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles is when my Jesus saved me. For I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hands. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. For I know what Jesus did for me.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that a blessing? If you've ever been saved, you certainly know what Jesus did for you. Amen. It's a blessing. All right, let's stand together for just a moment, shake hands, fellowship one with another. You children that are 7 and under that want to go to children's church, you'll be making your way to the children's church class at this time.
glory unsaved, unsaved by the blood of the crucified.
Right, thank you all very much. Right, appreciate that this morning. Appreciate the good music. Congregational singing, Miss Tammy singing for us this morning is a blessing. You have your Bibles this morning. I'd like for you to turn with us to two places to start today, if you will. Turn with us to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, and Acts chapter number 16. Philippians chapter 1, Acts chapter 16. We completed a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago now, preaching through the minor prophets, and we have just preached several topical sermons since then. But with the help of the Lord today, I would like to begin a study through the book of Philippians. And so this morning, maybe kind of different for Sunday morning, but I would like to give the introduction to the book of Philippians, and we'll start a study through the book of Philippians. Paul is writing to the Philippians. We'll look at some of that in the introduction, and we'll also go back to Acts chapter 16 and talk about Paul's missionary journey, where he actually began the church in Philippi. And so we certainly do need the Lord's help today. I'll mention just a couple of things, and we'll pray together and read some scripture. But the book of Philippians is not a very large book at all. It's only four chapters, only 104 verses, just a couple, maybe 2,002 words, something like that. You can read it in just a few minutes, the four chapters. But it's a great book in the Bible. It is a book that offers very little rebuke, no chastisement. There's nothing that Paul is chastising the church or rebuking the church for. It is a book of joy and rejoicing. And I don't know about you, but I could certainly use some joy and rejoicing. And we certainly do have a lot to joy and rejoice about. We know the Apostle Paul is the author of the book, according to the human author. Ultimately, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We understand that. Paul's the human penman. We see that in verse number 1 of chapter number 1 of the book of Philippians. Also, this church was founded on Paul's second missionary journey, which we will read some of that in just a little bit, consisting from Acts chapter 15, verse number out later in the chapter, down about verse number 40, all the way through chapter 18. We won't look at all of that. Obviously, there's some other things mixed in there as well. Acts chapter 16, we'll look at quite a bit of that here in just a moment. When Paul actually went to Philippi to establish the church, that happened somewhere around 52 to 54 A.D. It was approximately 10 years later when Paul was in prison that he wrote this letter. He's in prison to Rome when he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. And it amazes me how that Paul is suffering persecution. He is in prison, and he writes a letter to the Philippians expressing joy and rejoicing. And the only way that anything such as that is even possible is because of the grace of God in his life. And you and I, if we are enjoying the grace of God and the goodness of God in our lives, I think we can have the ability to rejoice regardless of our outward circumstances because of the inward peace that we have with God. Certainly gives us something to joy about and rejoice in. I have a very bright future. Amen. And I don't need a psychic or a sign or a horoscope or anything like that to tell me that. I have a bright future not because I'm good, not because I deserve it, not because I've earned it, but because of the Savior who I have received and the new birth that I have gained. I have a very bright future, amen. Tomorrow may be very dark. I have no idea what it holds, but I know one thing. I know who holds tomorrow. And so things are going to be all right. I believe that's the thing that was on Paul's mind. He's writing this epistle from a prison cell. Though it might have been dark then, though it may have been dismal at that time, he knew that he had an end that was far greater than what he was in at the moment. And you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ do as well. Amen. So what a blessing. Now, so let's pray together, ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll start actually in Acts chapter 16. Father, thank you for the privilege to pray this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church today. Thank you for a Bible. Lord, I'm glad we weren't left here to just fend for ourselves and do what we thought was best and what we think is right. Lord, the Bible teaches us that our heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? And that and many more reasons is why I'm so thankful that we have a Bible to teach us the need of a Savior and how to be saved and then how to live our life after that we are saved. And I'm grateful for that. I pray, Lord, you would help us to always be faithful to your word, not just to teach it, not just to preach it, not just to read it and to study it, but also to conform our lives to what thus saith the Lord. And we sure do love you and thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I mentioned just a couple of things about the book of Philippians. And so Paul, when he went to Philippi, he had a plan of attack. By the way, he went there because the Lord wanted him to go there. And as believers in Christ, it's the will of God for you and I to be the light of the world and salt of this earth. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, all of us that are saved, we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called to reconcile people to Jesus Christ. And so that is our ministry. All of us have that ministry. But there are times when the Lord places a certain call or a certain place upon an individual's life. And I think it is a tremendous blessing when that is the case, that you follow that and do that with your life. I believe you'll be the most fruitful. And certainly that's the case with the Apostle Paul here when it comes to the church at Philippi. He had an idea or a plan. And by the way, you ought to just be doing something for the Lord. And you know why I believe Paul was sent to Philippi or called to Philippi? Because Paul was just going to go out. He had a plan. He was going to go out and reach people with the gospel, try to share the gospel with folks. And while he was busy for the Lord directed him to a certain place to go. Oh, now I'm getting plumb off of the topic, subject, not even in my notes. But here's what I'm trying to say. I think a lot of people are sitting around doing nothing, waiting for the Lord to show them what to do. You ought to get busy doing something, and then he'll help you in knowing exactly what he'd have you to do for your life. If you're just lazy, well, that's a whole other subject, amen. So Paul had a plan of attack when he went to Philippi, and that's exactly what he did in the Ephesians, other places as well. Let me read. Come to Acts chapter 16. Now I could read, let me back all the way back up to verse number 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Massa and essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And after passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now look at verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we that Paul's referring to there is Luke, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Paul said, we knew assuredly now that God has called us to preach the gospel unto them. Verse number 11, he says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samotherica, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, the word want there in that verse of Scripture, it means accustomed or used to or the habit of. And so these ladies, they had a habit, there was a custom of theirs to meet there and to pray on the Sabbath day. Now, apparently, they gathered there regularly, according to that passage of Scripture. And let me just say this quickly in passing. If the Bible makes mention here that they did this on the Sabbath day, and I didn't really want to turn this into bashing religions, but I'll tell you, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through by the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks get upset at that when you tell them that, especially if they are dependent on another God or another religion, and you have conversation with them, and you cannot agree with them that just because people are sincere, they can be sincerely wrong. And you question what their authority is, and their authority is what this man said or that man said or what another man said. I'm glad when that arises, I can say, well, my authority is the Bible. It is the Word of God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's the only true and living God. And He is the only way of salvation, the only hope of salvation. And so that makes every other way wrong. And so Jesus Christ is our only hope of salvation. Now, I got off on that religion thing, but I wanted to say this because oftentimes I have in the past had in-depth conversations with Seventh-day Adventists. This will make some of you mad, but some of them are saved. And you know why? Because Baptists don't hold a market on salvation. Jesus does. And the moment that you place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, regardless of your stripe, He'll save you because He is a just God. By the way, there's a lot of saved people who after or even before they were saved got mixed up in some kind of religion that teaches something that is contrary to the Bible. Now, I said all that to say this. The Seventh-day Adventists will oftentimes use this verse of Scripture because Lydia and those were meeting on the Sabbath day to pray that is the day that we're to have church. No, it's just a habit of theirs, amen? And it had nothing to do with the Sabbath day being the day that we worship the Lord. By the way, you can worship God on any day you want to. But the form now, because Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the... I don't even have any... How am I over here in this ditch, amen? The Lord Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and the Bible talks about in the book of 1 Corinthians about us worshiping, fellowshipping on the first day of the week. I think it is but the Bible said today is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe it is correct, proper to worship every day of the week, amen. Our Savior deserves to be worshipped. But Sunday is a day that should be set aside for you to spend time in worship and fellowship with the Lord. How about that? Amen. Now, so the Seventh-day Adventists, they get all whacked out, all messed up over that verse of Scripture because they read something into it that is not there. That little bitty word "won't" is key. It was a custom of theirs. It was a habit of theirs, something they were used to doing. Now, one of these women was named Lydia. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." And so not only did Lydia get saved, her household got saved. They were baptized. And immediately it seems that Lydia invited them to her house to abide there. So we see the hospitality that she showed toward them. And it was seemingly something that was immediately added to her Christianity. And so we see Paul has went to Philippi. He has saw a vision. He's been constrained to go there. He's been called there to preach the gospel to them. There are some religious people there who are seeking God. They don't know God. They hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe what Paul preached unto them. And we know that Paul preached the gospel. The Bible tells us that in other places. They believe that report. They are baptized. Baptism does not come for salvation. It comes after salvation. And immediately they begin being involved in the things of God. You know, I still believe that there are people who are seeking God that do not know God. The Bible says that the fields are ripe already unto harvest. You know what that means? It means that there are people out there who are involved in some type of a religious activity. Just as, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, where Cornelius, he was seeking God. He didn't know God. Peter went down to there. He preached the gospel. I believe there's people all over the world that wants to know who Jesus is. If we can get out and find them, I believe they'll be saved. Amen. And so Paul, he heeded the call. He went to Macedonia, and he is there by the riverside and of the city of Thyatira, and he preaches unto them. They receive Christ. They get baptized, and that's the beginning of the church at Philippi. But that's not all we have on. By the way, this is Paul's second missionary journey. I'll mention it later. He did pass through there again on his third missionary journey. Now, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but we're talking about Lydia at the moment. Look down at verse number 40. Look at verse number 40. We're still in Acts chapter 16. Now, they had been in prison. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So not only do we see earlier in chapter number 15 of chapter 16, where they went to her house and enjoyed her hospitality, after a rough patch in their life, they did that as well. I think our homes ought to be a place where folks can come and be refreshed and encouraged and helped in their Christian walk in life. Amen. Now, the Riverside prayer meeting not only brought tremendous success, it also brought opposition. And I'll tell you that you can't really have one without the other. I enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I enjoy the benefits of the ministry. I enjoy seeing people get saved. I enjoy seeing people begin to conform their lives to what the Bible says, begin to make changes in their life that are pleasing to God. You can see how that God transforms them, and it's such a blessing, and it's encouraging. And then there's always the dark side of the ministry as well, and things that you have to deal with and things that you have to go through. And although we do not like those things, and all those things are discouraging and troublesome, they're also very needful in our lives. They teach us, they keep us humble, they keep us seeking after God, they keep us realizing that we are nothing and we can do nothing without the help of the Lord, and that in spite of folks being saved, folks being baptized, of folks being changed by the things of the Lord, there's always going to be adversity, and there's always going to be trouble, and there's always going to be problems, and you can't allow those things to deter you from living for God, because they're going to happen. And so look what happens. Immediately after this, look at verse 16. Now, remember, we're talking about the church at Philippi. It's getting established. Paul has went there. He's found some religious people. They've got saved. They've got baptized. And immediately, there's opposition. We'll read that in verse 16. The Bible says this, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of Jerusalem. Now, I want to tell you this, the way of salvation. I want to tell you this. What this lady is saying is true. The thing that she is saying about Paul and Silas is the truth. The problem is she was distracted. She was causing people to be distracting from the spotlight of the ministry, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul puts up with this for a while, and then he's going to deal with this demonic problem, and he has the ability to do that because he is an apostle, and he has those here in this transitional book of Acts. He has those apostolic abilities placed upon him, so he has the ability to do that. He has the gift to cast out the devils, and so that's what he does. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, I read that, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now look at verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, I want to say a couple things about this quickly. Everyone that says something is true is not right with God. The things that this lady is saying about Paul and Silas are true, but there's something about her spirit that Paul understands is not pleasing to God, and he rebukes that spirit of divination, and that spirit comes out of her, and immediately those who are having financial gain because of her soothsaying, they began to cause trouble. And so, verse number 18, this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And so the men, the money makers behind this demonic woman, they become upset because their free ride has been interrupted. Their way of making easy money has been corrupted, and now they are upset. And so they began to claim that Paul and Silas are the troublemakers. And listen, I want to tell you, you start living a life that's pleasing to the Lord, making a difference in this world. Everybody's not going to be happy about it, and the devil's not just going to bow down and say, that's all right, go ahead and have your way. No, he's going to be upset about it. So these people are upset that these men are wanting to live for God, and they cast out this demon, and so they are the ones that are labeled as troublemakers. Unfortunately, it is not uncommon that Christian people in the day and time that we live, and it's not anything new, it happened to the Lord Jesus, it happened to Paul, it happened to others of the apostles and disciples, that the ones who are trying to live in such a way that's pleasing to God are oftentimes the one that suffer persecution because of trying to do right. So listen, just because, I think a lot, there's so many rabbits jumping up here, I wish I had a shotgun and shoot them all, amen. Just because things are going right does not mean you're right with God. And just because things are going wrong does not mean you're out of God's will. And so Paul and Silas are doing exactly what God would have them to do. And it starts off great. Amen. There's a prayer meeting. People are saved. People are baptized. People are living for the Lord. And all of a sudden there's this damsel. She's possessed with the spirit of divination. She begins to follow them and trouble them. And so Paul does exactly what you would expect someone to do with an apostolic gift and the ability to be able to do that. He turns, he rebukes that demonic spirit. That demonic spirit leaves that lady. It looks like there would have been another prayer meeting and another shout, and people would have been excited that this lady has been delivered from this demonic spirit. She's been set free from sin. She's been delivered from this devil. What a great blessing. But that ain't how it went. Amen. And so the Bible says this. Paul and Silas were not the troublemakers. Amen. Those who were involved in the occultic business were the troublemakers. But the world doesn't often see it that way. It's always amazing who gets painted as the bad guy in such cases. But look what happened in verse number 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone. See, that's the problem. They didn't care nothing about this lady. They didn't care nothing about this damsel. They were glad that she was possessed with some kind of divination so that she could do things that brought them money. They didn't care less about her. They cared about their money. And so they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistracy, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, can you just call time out for just a second? Oftentimes, we read the Bible and we just read right through that. And we know what's happening. We've read it hundreds of times. Many of us have. But would you not think that in our way of thinking, here is a poor lady that is possessed with a devil. And Paul has the ability to cast out that devil, and he does. There's not a celebration. No one is happy. Would you not be happy if you knew someone that had this horrible thing going on in their life, and God delivered them from such a case? Would you not rejoice with her that God had delivered her from that devil? I would as well. But you know what the multitude thought about it? They thought Paul and Silas deserved to be beat. They deserved to be thrown in prison, and not just any prison, but in the inner prison. Can I tell you, that's what the world thinks about your Christianity. And the reason you don't know that is because you don't get out in the world and interact with them. They're not happy about you living for Jesus. They're not happy about you telling them that there's only one God. There's only one way to heaven. And He is the only hope of eternal life and the only hope of salvation. They got all kinds of other ideas. I want to tell you, it's still right, amen. Even if it costs you to be beat and you wind up in prison, it is still right to live for Jesus, and it's still right to stand up for God.
If all the multitudes are against you and you're in line with the Bible, you're right regardless of what the multitudes say. If we're living by what thus saith the Lord, it doesn't matter who is against you, you're right, amen, because God is right. And so the multitudes, they rise up against Paul, and the magistrates, the leaders of that day, they rise up against Paul and Silas, and they beat them for the good deed that they had. Did you hear that? They beat them for the good deed that they had done. And they cast them into prison. But I tell you, man, this is an amazing thing. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, know that there are going to be those who are for you, and there's going to be those who are against you. And if you're gonna be involved in the ministry, there's gonna be those who will cause you great harm, and there's gonna be those who are a great blessing and a great help. But none of these things deter Paul and Silas. What a blessing, amen. They didn't get discouraged. They are not defeated. They had the great victory in Lydia and her household, and now they've had the discouragement of the. I believe one of the reasons among many that Paul and Silas are rejoicing in prison is because they had the ability. Paul had the ability through the power of God to deliver that lady from that devil. And regardless of what the men of that day had done to them and the imprisonment that they're suffering, I believe that he is rejoicing that she has been delivered just like Lydia has been delivered and that religious crowd. You know what? The religious crowd need delivering from the power of Satan, and the demonic crowd need delivering from the power of Satan. They all need the same gospel, and they all need the same God, and they all need the same Savior, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And so prison didn't deter them, and the beating didn't offend them, and they wasn't upset, and they wasn't mad, and the crowd had went crazy against them, but they knew that Jesus Christ was the only hope of salvation, and they were not deterred by the masses of man. God help us to quit pouting and whining because one person is against us, or because four or five don't like the way we're doing things. Man, if we're following what God said, then let's just go for God, amen. And regardless of what the world thinks about it, or what the religious crowd thinks about it, there's victory in Jesus, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm just going to go with God with His help. Now, this happened to the apostles. Look, come to Matthew chapter 27 for just a moment. Lord, have mercy. Time flies. Matthew chapter 27. If this happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, it happened to His disciples, it happened to the apostles, it's going to happen to you and I as well if we're going to live for Jesus. Look at Matthew 27, look at verse number 19. The Bible said when He, this is talking about Pontius Pilate, the governor, see that in verse 2 of that chapter, when He was set down on the judgment seat, His wife sent unto Him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? She's talking about Jesus. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas, a criminal. He's a criminal. And look what it says. And destroy Jesus. Now look down at verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So this, the very same thing happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a just man, holy man, righteous man, a man without sin, the God man. And there is Barabbas who is a criminal. He's a murderer, a thief, and he's to be crucified because of his sin. And the multitude said, nah, let that criminal go free. We want that just man. We want that righteous man. We want to crucify him. Something very similar just happened to the Apostle Paul and Silas. And so it amazes me that we have the same kind of spirit in the day that we live. Wickedness is licensed. Wickedness is celebrated while Christianity is scorned and tried to be banned. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And He said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so regardless of what the world brings about, regardless of what Satan comes up with, regardless of the wickedness of men that are going to wax worse and worse, I am glad that we have a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that His church is built upon the rock which is Himself, amen, and the world shall not prevail against it. They may try. and they may persecute us, and they may scourge us, and they may throw us in prison, but I am glad, thank God, we are winners either way. Amen. Now, look, we're talking about Paul and Silas. Look at this. Paul didn't get discouraged with this very seemingly difficult situation. And in fact, him and Silas, they continued to do right while they were in jail. Can I tell you something? Just keep doing right. It doesn't matter who don't like it. It doesn't matter who is against you. It doesn't matter who criticizes you. It doesn't matter who persecutes you. It doesn't matter who tries to stop you. If you're doing right, just keep doing right. The Lord will reward you. He will encourage you. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you the victory, and He'll help you. I want to tell you something. You begin to grow spineless and weak and apathetic and uncaring, and you begin to waver with the world, and you begin to fellowship with the world, and you begin to live like the world, you're not going to have any desire to stand for Jesus. And so the first thing that comes along, you're going to be washed out like a rut in a heavy rain. Amen. You stand for Jesus. He'll help you. Amen. So Paul and Silas, they were able to keep a positive attitude while under these adverse conditions, because they knew that they were doing the perfect will of God. Now, look at this. You know what? Preaching is just coming good this morning. What a blessing. So, you know what a blessing it is to just live right and do right. And those who are persecuting you, and those who are causing you harm, and those who are trying to deter you, and those who are trying to stop you, if you just keep living for Jesus, you just keep singing, and in spite of your beating, and in spite of your imprisonment, and in spite of your persecution, you just keep praying, you just keep singing, one of these days the light's going to shine through, and the prison cell's going to get rocked, and God's going to give you the victory, amen. Don't give up, friend. Amen. Keep your head up. Thy redemption draws nigh. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Now, Paul and Silas, they're able to keep this positive attitude. Look at this. Look at verse number. Let me show you how that they were able to do that. They knew they were doing right. Look at verse number 10. In chapter 16, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering. Look at this. That the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Can I just say it's always easier to serve the Lord when we're willing to follow His direction and leadership in our lives. Now, I mentioned this a moment ago. I believe one of the reasons, and I believe there's many, but I believe one of the reasons that Paul and Silas can rejoice in their situation, their condition, is because this damsel just got delivered from the devil. I believe a second reason that they are able to rejoice in spite of their current situation is because they're doing exactly what God asked them to do. When we do what the Lord wants us to do, it ain't always going to be victorious, humanly speaking. Amen. Now, so let's look at this. Look at verse number 25. I need to read this because it's too good not to read. Amen. Let's see. Where did we get to? We got to verse 24. Look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, think about this now. They've been beaten. They've been put into prison. And they've been placed into the inner prison, the Bible said, in verse number 24. And the jailer has been charged to keep them safely, verse 24. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Can I just say that I commend Paul and Silas for this. Now, I promise you that I would have been praying. But I don't know if I would have had a song on my heart. And I'm afraid that my prayer would have been really selfish. As in, Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? Why am I... Now, you can sit there pious and self-righteous if you want to. I'm just telling you, I know the weakness of my frame. I'm afraid that I would have been sitting there complaining about the persecution, complaining about the beating, complaining about the condition of the prison. And Lord, I'm here because you told me to come here. I'm here trying to be obedient to your command. But why am I here in this prison? I don't believe that's their prayer. I believe their prayer was, Lord, I'm here because this is where you have put me. We have seen a family saved. We've seen a damsel delivered. I don't know what you're going to do in this prison, but I'm praying that you'll let it happen quickly. I'm praying you'll let it happen immediately. And then they just burst out into song and begin singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. And God began to show up and visit them in prison. Listen, you can't keep God out. You can go into that operating room and they'll tell you at the door, they'll tell your family, you can't go any further, you can't come back here, but they can't keep God out of there. You can go in that prison cell, they'll lock that door behind you, they may throw the key away, but I tell you, there's a man who will go with you in the prison cell, and his name is Jesus. And so there they are, they're in prison, and they're singing, and they're praying, and they're praising God, and the prisoners heard them. Now look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Join a church, get baptized, keep the law. No, friend. They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Paul and Silas were praying and praising God in the prison because they knew, thirdly, that God was not finished with their work. He had called them there. There's been a family saved. There's been a damsel delivered. And even though they're beaten and imprisoned and persecuted, they realize that God was not yet finished with them. And so in spite of their present condition, they continue to give God praise. They continue to give God glory. He showed a miraculous miracle. He sent an earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, I can't imagine what kind of shaking that was. All of their bands were loosened and not a single one of them prisoners left. You know why they didn't leave? Because they didn't hear Paul and Silas whining. They didn't hear Paul and Silas belly aching. They didn't hear Paul and Silas blaming God. They heard Paul and Silas praying and singing praises unto God. They knew what had happened to them. They saw the condition of their bodies after their beating. And they're not whining. And they're not crying. They're praising God. They're rejoicing. And they're praying. And though they were free to leave, they stayed because they were constrained by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, when sinners get saved, when they get arrested by God, I'm afraid we're guilty of trying to lead people to Christ when there's no conviction of the power of God. You won't run from God when He's got a hold of you. And so these men had the ability to leave. They decided to stay. The jailer was going to kill himself. You're talking about tragedy was fixing to take place. The jailer knew that if these prisoners had left, he was as good as dead. And so instead of facing all that, he was going to take his own life. Man, I don't think we give this chapter enough respect. Here is a family that was religious and God has saved them. Here is a damsel who is full of the devil and God delivers her. Here is a prisoner that is suicidal and fixing to take his own life. But instead of killing himself, he winds up trusting Christ, being baptized. All of his family is saved. He washes the stripes that are on Paul and Silas' back. And he fixes them a meal and brings them into his house. Hey, friend, I'm talking about revival down at the prison house. Amen. Don't give up on God. Don't bow down to the world. Don't turn around when the multitudes are against you. Don't give up when people don't like you. Don't just throw in the towel because things are not going the way you think they ought to be going. God might just be fixing to shake the foundation and set some people free. Amen. I'm not a charismatic, and I'm not talking charismatical doctrine. I'm telling you that God is able to deliver people from the bondage of sin and religion and divination if they'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And there will be evidence of it in the lives of the individuals. Well, praise the Lord. Paul and Silas didn't leave quietly. Even after God had worked this miracle, they stayed behind. I want to elaborate, but even after they were free to go, they gave those city officials the scare of their life by saying that if they had, I'm paraphrasing, that if they were to report this to the authorities, they'd be in great trouble because they were Romans and they'd been beaten falsely and uncondemned. And man, what, you're talking about brave. You know, how come they have such boldness? Because they have God on their side. Amen. Now, Paul made a second trip. I'm supposed to be preaching in Philippians. So Paul made a second trip to Philippi on his third missionary journey in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 6. I'll just read that verse. It says, as we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days where we abode 7 days. Now, some details concerning the writing of the book of Philippi, if you want to come, or Philippians, if you want to come back to that. Paul didn't write this letter until he was later imprisoned in Rome. And it's an amazing thing. I think it's an interesting thing that when Paul's first trip to Philippi, he wound up in jail. And 10 years later, Paul's in prison in Rome. And these believers at Philippi come to his mind under the inspiration of the Spirit of God to understand that. And he begins to write them a letter. And he begins to commend them because of their faithfulness to God. Now, look, some 10 years later, so the date of the writing of the epistle is between 62 and 64 A.D. And so this epistle of Philippians, it falls into the later letters that the Apostle Paul had written. We refer to that as the late letters, these prison epistles. There are several verses, and we'll mention those as we go along. In the book of Philippians, where he mentions the fact that he is in prison or in bonds, in bondage, when he's writing the epistle. Now, I want to give you just a quick review, and I'm not going to get finished. I'll just quit. That's the good thing about preaching through a book. We'll just start back this afternoon at 2:00. Amen. But we started preaching through the epistles, the Pauline epistles, and church epistles. And we try to go back and forth, so we went back to the Old Testament, preached through the minor prophets. And so just to give you a quick reminder, the book of Romans in the New Testament is a great New Testament book on church age doctrine. And 1 Corinthians is a great New Testament book on correcting church problems. 2 Corinthians is the book that talks about the ministry, and Lord help us to minister the good news of Jesus Christ. The book of Galatians talks about our liberty that we have in Christ and how we're to use that liberty. The book of Ephesians is the book about our spiritual blessings in Christ, what a blessing it is to be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And then the book of Philippians, as we have mentioned, is a book on the Christian joy and rejoicing. And so the emphasis of Philippians is a devotional reminder of the joy that Christians ought to have. The book is not written to correct some doctrinal heresy, as the book of Galatians was, nor some worldly sins, as 1 Corinthians. Philippians is the freest of Paul's writings, and probably some consider it probably even the most informal. He's not writing it, and in fact, we'll talk about this tonight. It's one of the very few, if not the only, epistle where Paul does not refer to himself as an apostle. And the reason for that is he is pretty much writing this book as a brother to another brother, and expressing his love and devotion for them. And it's just a tremendous thing. The word joy is found 6 times. The word rejoice is found 12 times in 10 verses in this book. And Paul reminds them also in the book of Philippians that God will meet every need that they have. He reminds them that they ought to rejoice in God regardless of our circumstances. The thing that makes the theme of this book so remarkable is, as I've already mentioned, it's been mentioned several times, that Paul's in jail when he's writing this epistle to the Philippians. And so Paul was a prisoner in jail awaiting execution. And yet he is writing to the church of Philippi, telling them how happy he was and how happy they could be in the Lord. So the application for that is this. Our difficult circumstances do not have a greater joy or should not have a greater influence on our life than the joy that we have in the Lord, knowing that he's our Savior and our Redeemer. So I'm looking forward to studying the book of Philippians, and I hope you are as well. Amen. If we ever get there. Father, thank you for the Bible. And thank you for your blessings upon us and your goodness to us. Lord, I'm encouraged this morning, and as I have been